All right, so first thing, let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for putting this on my heart and allowing our schedules to line up to where I can come before these kids and share what you've put on my heart. I pray that you will soften hearts and open minds that they may hear your truth. Help me not to be bogged down in who I am or what I've done, but rather to reflect your truth, Father, ultimately. Just go before us tonight and bless this evening. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, good time. So we're talking about forgiveness tonight. So before we dive into that, I want to talk about something that is on the flip side of forgiveness, which is basically resentments. Okay, resentments typically are somebody that has done you wrong, whether they've said something about you, maybe they have taken something that doesn't belong to you or offended you to some degree or another. Here is what I want you to do in this very first moment. I want you to think about the person that you need to forgive. Now, some of you are saying, well, I don't think I have anybody to think about that I need to forgive, but I want you to think about it. Could be somebody at school. Could be somebody, I don't know, at work if you have a job. Could be somebody that lives in your own household. Could be somebody here. See, the beautiful thing about working with you guys is that I get to hear what's going on in your lives. I get to listen in to conversations, and in my small groups, I really try to cut right to the chase and get to the meat of what's going on in your lives. Because if we stay shallow, we're not going to get anywhere. So we've got to get deep. We've got to get to the root of the problem. So while you're thinking about who you need to forgive, it's easy for us to look and go, well, this person needs to ask me for forgiveness because they have hurt me. We're going to start out, we're going to be in Matthew a lot, and I've got some verses that I want you guys to read as well, which is why I have this. I'll cue you when I'm going to throw this to somebody, basically. But so if you've got your Bible and you want to be a reader, somebody put their finger on Exodus 34. Somebody put their finger on Proverbs 19. And we'll just go from there. So I'm going to start with Matthew 6. And this is basically, a lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Disciples' Prayer, because in fact, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. So I'm going to read this because I want you to understand what's going on here, right? So starting on verse 9, he says this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you have that memorized? Show of hands. Good. That's a good one. 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the really cool passage, that is the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It points out one simple truth. When it says, forgive people, or forgive us our debts as we forgive those, every relationships break down at the forgiveness level. Whether it be with your siblings, whether it be with your whatever, right? You have a relationship, you have a friendship, whatever. At some point, here's the really fun thing about being human. We're all fallen. We're all fallible. We all mess up and make mistakes. And sometimes it affects other people. But if you want to have any kind of long-term relationship, you have to be able to exercise forgiveness, whether that's with your siblings, your parents, coworkers, whatever. When we practice forgiveness, here's something fun. When we practice forgiveness, we are most like God. When we as human beings practice forgiveness, we are most like God. Okay, forgiveness is the most divine characteristic man can possess. Who has Exodus 34? Come on, I asked you guys to find it. Nobody?
Oh, yeah. What am I reading? 6-7.
6-7.
It says 34, 6-7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed,
the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
So God forgives, which is mind-blowing in itself. None of us deserve forgiveness. We are all, let's see, what? There's a passage out there that says that our best attributes are like what? Anybody? Filthy rags. The best we can do is like filthy rags to God. Right? We sin, we fall short. It's beautiful that God forgives. Who's got Proverbs 19:11? Okay. Turn this on. I want... Go ahead.
Okay. Proverbs 19:11 states, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense.
Now read that again. Okay. Now listen to this.
Do you want me to add emphasis?
Every time.
Okay. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense.
So most of you have heard of the prodigal son story, correct? Show of hands, you know it. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you, and this is Luke 15:11-23. I'm going to read this via the NLV, which is the Nate Dad Local version. Pay attention. So Jesus puts it down like this. He says, this guy has two boys, and one day the young one is all, hey, Dad, I know when you die I'm going to get this fat inheritance from you, but I want my half now. So the dad gives the boy's inheritance. A couple days later, the boy decided to take it all and move to Colorado to live the high life and figure it all out. This is the Nate Dad Local version, just so you know. Yep. Once he had run through all his money, he realized he was broke. Things got tight, so he decided he would get a job feeding pigs. As he was working, he realized that the pigs were eating better than he was. Then it hit him. Bruh. My dad's servants have more than enough to eat, but I'm here starving to death. So he thought to himself, I'm going to get up and go back to my dad's and say to him, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I know I'm not worthy to be called your boy anymore, but if you would, please just let me work for you. So in the morning, he got up and as he was heading back to his dad's, while he was still a long way away, his dad saw him coming and felt the feels for him. He felt the feels. He ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. And the boy said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and before you. But as the boy was speaking, the dad stopped him and yelled to the servants, go get them sick threads and a pair of Birks and put them on my boy. Get the family bling and put it on his finger. Get out them thick ribeyes and let us eat and celebrate, because my boy was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he is back. And they began to partay. Hey, Dad, local version, Luke 15:11-23. Now, you've all heard that passage 1,000 times, which is why I decided to spice it up a little bit. And I wanted you to sink in and understand that Scripture is alive and it is relative to where you're at and what you're going through. You just have to dive into it. You have to think about what it is saying, how it pertains to where you're at, and then soak it up. It will come alive for you if you desire to get into it. All right, so let's dive into this. So the fun thing about this story is Jesus is teaching us. The boy came back not expecting to be called son again, but only seeking to be considered a servant. Knowing that his father's servants were treated well and cared for, he only wanted the chance to own his failures and humbly asked to be his father's servant. At this realization, he started to head back. So the really cool thing about this is the thing that hits me the most, is that when we talk about forgiveness, this passage itself teaches us just the heart of it, okay? The father ran to the son. So the heart of forgiveness is eager. Okay, if you are genuinely a forgiving person, right? If you have that desire because you love in that relationship with whoever it may be, You're going to be eager to right the wrong between you. Whatever it is, whatever scenario or situation, you're going to want to make it right because you're loving that person. Right?
Right.
You don't wait for them to arrive to you. You see them coming and you run to meet them and love on them. The next part is that the Father's words were not unkind. And we can learn from that when people start to say you're sorry, you know that they're genuinely forgiving. You can tell people's forgiveness based on their heart, right? How many of you heard, I'm sorry, and it wasn't genuine? How many of you have said, I'm sorry, and it wasn't genuine? Oh, dang. So when you know someone and you love them and you're close to them, you can genuinely know when they are forgiving or when they're seeking forgiveness. When their heart is saying, I understand what I did was wrong. I understand what transpired hurt you. In that moment, you don't need to hear about it. You just need to love on them and accept them. You need to bring them back into the fold so that relationship can be healed quickly. Right? So you put the clothes on them. You put a ring on their finger. You create a great feast. You celebrate. In short, you remind them of the love you shared before and restore them to that place immediately. Ephesians 4. Does anybody have that? Yeah? 4:32?
All right. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Now, I've got one more I want to read you real quick here. And then I need somebody to find 2 Corinthians 7 as well. So this is Colossians 3:13. And it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. It's important to understand as believers, non-believers alike, but we are believers here, that if you do not forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's not me. That's this, right? And so it's important for us to understand that not only do we have a responsibility to love our brothers and sisters, but we have a responsibility to forgive them of their trespasses, shortcomings, whatever. Because here's the thing, we all know this, but I fail every single day. I love my wife, but I don't always treat her the best or say things that I shouldn't say, or I forget things quite often. But she loves me and mostly forgives me. Hopefully I'm not the person that she... when I was asking. And the key element to understanding and being able to forgive is understanding that you have been forgiven. Okay? If any of you have really hurt somebody and you've gone to them and you were seriously heartfelt, apologetic, and they forgave you, there's freedom in that. If you've ever been in a situation where you did something, whether you were aware of it or not, and you caused pain, and you go and you apologize and they forgive you, it's freeing. It's like nothing else. And so when you get to the point where you understand what it is to be forgiven, it makes it a lot easier to forgive other people. Matthew 18, I'm going to read this here real quick. Let's see, 18:21 through 23. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as 7 times? Cribs, if you wrong me, 7 times, that's it. Okay, I'm counting. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Some versions say 70 times 7. The point of the matter is that when we talk about forgiveness, it isn't a matter of, okay, you got 3 strikes and then you're out. It's understanding that forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude. Okay? It's something similar to... Oh, I don't know. It's something that you don't just happenstance do. You don't just decide to forgive somebody. You have a heart of forgiveness. Okay? And sometimes it's harder to do that. But if you've set your standard to say, I'm going to forgive other people because I have been forgiven of so much, then it's just an attitude that you carry with you. And it's hard, trust me. As a broken person, I know. But then we jump down here to the rest of this, and it says this, 24 through 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. This is a great story here. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which is basically a lifetime's wages, right? Let's call it $300,000. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, if I'm the boss and you owe me $300,000 and you come to me and I'm like, you know what, I got to get as much out of this guy as I can. So I'm going to sell his family into slavery so that I can make at least some of that profit back, because there's no way this guy can pay me back, right? So as a businessman, I'm looking at that going, okay, I get his premise here. Let's see. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Now, the funny thing here is that there's no way that this guy could have paid him back. It's not possible. He owed that much to where he couldn't be able to repay him in all his lifetime. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, let's call it $50, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down, pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And you should not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's tough teaching. But the thing that we need to understand here is that true repentance shows from the heart, right? The desire to make things right. And that's the example here, because this guy who had no way to be able to pay, but he sat in front of this master and said, listen, you give me time and I will pay you back. He knew what he owed him. He had a desire to make things right, even though it was out of his control to be able to do so. And the master, seeing that that was a genuine desire to make amends, forgave him. Right? And so true repentance comes from the heart. When we talk about saying, I'm sorry, not meaning it, I think we're all guilty of that. I think the older you get, the more you understand the value of a true, I am sorry, as opposed to, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I can make fun of John and say, yeah, I'm sorry, John. But he knows my heart, because when I really hurt him, I do apologize. Typically, not always, but typically. Just giving him a hard time here. This principle applies to believers, okay? Earthly repentance is hollow and has nothing to do with the heart. How many of you have apologized to try and get out of a problem? Right? Your parents catch in something? I am sorry. I am sorry. Because I got caught, I am sorry. That's not true heartfelt repentance. That is not true seeking forgiveness. That is, I don't want to have to deal with the repercussions of a bad attitude or a bad decision or a choice that I shouldn't have followed through with. If we can forgive others, we need not doubt that God has forgiven us. Do you understand? If you have the Spirit within you and you're able to forgive other people, that is only because of Christ in you. So you need to ask yourself, if you're unable to forgive whoever that person was that I had you think about, what's going on there? Is your saving, salvific grace true? Is it genuine? Because if you understand what Christ has forgiven of you, it should be really easy to forgive some other person for a simple mistake and error. Here's a quote from a guy. He says, it is self-centered false pride that makes us offended by the actions of others. I'm going to read that again. It is self-centered false pride that makes us offended by the actions of others. If we are truly living a life of humility, others' actions will not bother us because we do not have a grandiose opinion of ourselves. If you have a right-sized understanding of who you are inside of God, you're going to be a lot more lenient with people who make mistakes against you. And now, I don't mean to say that, you know, there are different offenses depending on who the person is and how close they are and the trust that you pour into them and the situation and circumstance. But that shouldn't matter. We should have a desire to forgive. And my dad told me once when I was struggling with just this topic, before you forgive, sometimes you need to pray for willingness to forgive. And that is conveying to the heart that I truly have a desire, but it's a conversation between you and God to say, change my heart. Help me to understand that I need to forgive. Give me the willingness to do so. Now, seven truths about forgiveness. Starting, this is where your notes pop in, so if you're following along at home. First point is, it is not murder alone that is forbidden by the sixth commandment, but a lack of forgiveness. I'm going to jump back here to Matthew 5 real quick and read this for you. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. It says this, if you have heard, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. That's pretty heavy stuff. So not only do we have to understand that it's one thing to be sinful to the point where you're thinking about murdering someone, let alone murdering them, but also if you are angry to the point where you're holding a resentment against them, that is sin. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Matthew 22, 36, 39. Let me jump there real quick. Okay. Here we go. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. How many of you have a hard time forgiving yourself? At different times, depending on the circumstance and the situation, it's difficult to forgive yourself. But the cool thing about Scripture is that we have already been forgiven if we are in Christ Jesus. If you've already been forgiven by God, you need to understand you need to forgive yourself. And as somebody who did a lot of colorful things in my life, that's one that I used to struggle with. And still today, there are things in my life where I could go back 5, 10 years, I would change the decision, a conversation, and an action. Because now that I'm 10 years removed, I can see how that did not turn out the way that I had hoped it would. And so I beat myself up. As a parent, it is hard sometimes to live with the example and the decisions and the choices that you made. Because you may not get this, but your parents are doing the best they can, and they're going to fail miserably. And they will regret decisions. If they're truly seeking after Christ, they will regret decisions. But sometimes it's the best they can do with the information that they have. What tells us that we should be offended when someone does something? Pride. In a nutshell, I am of worth. How could they do this to me? Don't they know who I am? How dare you behave that way, act that way, talk that way? The interesting thing I've learned about resentments is that there are two basic causes, right? First is, I'm not going to get my way. Meaning, I'm not going to get something that I feel like I have to have. And the second one is, I feel like I'm going to lose something that is due me. both fall back to the basic premise that I have value and worth, that all these things should come to me, right? And it's superseding who God is. Second point, whoever has offended you has offended God more. Psalms 51 talks about that. I'm not going to dive into it. The interesting thing about that is that we may be troubled or bothered, but no one sins against any of you, right? They may offend you. They may have upset you, right? But they have not sinned against you. They have only sinned against God. Now, the really frustrating part is that we sin against God hundreds of times more than we sin against other people. But if we're followers of Christ, we are forgiven of that sin. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is when our Savior was on the cross, being executed by non-believers who were mocking him, beating him, spitting in his face. And he had enough of the Spirit in him to say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Third truth, we will not enjoy forgiveness from God if we do not forgive others. I'm going to jump to Matthew 6 real quick and read this passage because it's good. 14 and 15 says this, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Why should we expect forgiveness from God if we ourselves are not willing to forgive others? Remember that person that I had you think about that you need to forgive? It's imperative that you understand that we have been forgiven so much. Whatever earthly wrong that they have done against you, and whether they even know that they have offended you or not, free yourself from the cancer of resentment and forgive. Number four, you will never be close in the fellowship if you will not forgive. If I'm unable to forgive John, Carolyn, Matthew, a lot of forgiveness there, brother, I don't have an opportunity to be close with them. Right? Because I've already got that predisposition in my heart to say, I'm not letting them get close to me. So regardless of the fact that John's human, Caroline's human, Matthew's human, and they make mistakes, if I'm not willing to forgive, I'm never going to be able to dive into a deep relationship with them. Now, the beautiful thing about being close to believers is that when the time comes that you're heading towards something dangerous, something sinful, they can call you out on that to save you from falling further into whatever sin that is. Number five, if you won't forgive and you seek revenge, you have claimed the role of God. Now, this is a great one here because I love it. This is one that I used to fall back to quite a bit because I loved what it said. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says this. "Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Some old wise guy, I don't remember who he was, but he pointed it out to me this way. He said, you know, when you're upset with somebody and you take it upon yourself to try and vindicate whatever has occurred, you're never going to be able to handle it as well and as intently as God would. And at the end of the day, you're going to have blood on your hands. Now, I don't know about any of you, but typically speaking, when God has disciplined me, it's a lot worse than anything that any man could pour out into my life. It's so elaborate, so encompassing, and involves so many things that make me have to challenge myself spiritually and submit to him. But I want to punish. I want to correct that guy who did whatever he did that offended me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not for me to do. It's not for me to know. Because here's the thing. I don't know what God's doing in his life. I don't know what he's doing to challenge him and change his heart. I've got to trust in that. Number six, the absence of forgiveness makes you unfit for worship. Anybody here had a Sunday morning where things didn't quite jive as well as they would have at home? before you came into church, and you're sitting down and you're ready to start singing and you're really, really ready to start worshiping, but you're just not there because you're so caught up in that argument or that frustration or that anxiety. We're incapable of worship if we're focused on being mad at someone. It's not going to happen. If you're filled with anger and bitterness, you are unable to be in union with God. Can't happen. Why? Because unforgiveness is sin. Step seven, point seven. Every time you're offended, this is a trial or a temptation. I pointed out the two things that cause me to be typically resentful towards somebody else. I'm not getting my way or I'm losing something that I want. So anytime I'm in a position where I'm offended, it's because I'm not getting my way. I'm completely setting aside the fact that God's will is sovereign and that he knows what he's doing in every circumstance and situation, and I've got to trust him in that. Instead, I'm thinking that, you know, Nadab knows what's going on. If you people would just act the way that I wanted you to do, my life would be perfect. But that's not reality. God has a plan for each and every one of you, right? And sometimes Matthew's going to make a mistake or John's going to make a mistake that's going to hurt my feelings. But at the end of the day, through the conversation, we may grow. He may grow, I may grow, what have you. Every time you're offended, that's a trial or temptation. Now I want to talk to you briefly about holding on to resentments, because this for me is the crux of the situation. When we are focusing on a wrong, it affects everything. Any of you ever been mad and had a hard time sleeping that night because you're focused on, you know, they said that, and then next time I see them, I'm going to say this, and they're going to say this, and I'm making this movie in my head about how this is going to work out, and I'm going to show them. I know, by the smiles, none of you have ever experienced that, that's awesome because you guys are on the right trail. It affects our attitude, our behaviors. It affects how we view things, right? If you've got damage from how somebody treated you in the past, right, and you're holding that to be truth or right because you were never able to let it go, it's going to alter the way you handle yourself in a similar situation or circumstance, right? If somebody shed dark into your life and you weren't able to forgive them for it, but you're still holding on to that, it's going to change how you deal with it when it comes up again. Reoccurring difficulties are opportunities to learn. I don't know if you guys have figured that out yet, but that's why God does that. He wants us to grow. My dad used to say this. When somebody makes you mad, oftentimes you're giving them free rent in your head. Typically speaking, they've already moved down the road. They have no clue that you're upset or frustrated or mad or whatever, but you're in there thinking about it. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your energy. And again, you are separated from God. Left to grow. What I mean by that is that if you've got some wrong that happened when you were younger and it was genuine and it was legitimate and it has altered you, left to grow, unforgiveness changes who we are and who we can be. Any sin that is left in our lives that we do not deal with, that we do not fight to get rid of, is going to alter who you are and ultimately who you can become. Until you address that and until you deal with it, you're going to be handcuffed to it. It's going to be in your head. It's going to be in your thoughts. It's going to be in your dreams. Whoever it is that has offended you, whoever it is, whatever it is that has changed the way that you feel about X, it's going to kill you. So here's the other part that I wanted to touch on really quick. It's 7 o'clock right now, so 2 minutes, I'm going to wrap up. You guys are living in a culture that is surrounded by cancel. You've heard this term, cancel culture, right? The whole idea is that if you offend me, instead of forgiving you because you're another human who's making mistakes and errors, instead, I'm just going to cut you out of your life. I'm going to blow up whatever it is you did, said, and try to embarrass you and humiliate you until no end. This is what your society is saying is the proper step, which is completely against what God says. Completely. Regardless, we're supposed to love our enemies, we're supposed to love our neighbors. And if you're not forgiving whoever it is that has offended you, you are not loving. And so I encourage each and every one of you to consider learning and exercising forgiveness. And if you need me to punch you in the arm so you can forgive me, I'd be more than happy to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word talks specifically and gives us examples 182 times about forgiving and forgiveness. Lord, we know that sometimes our own self gets in the way of being able to forgive because we're full of pride. I pray that as we go, you will help us to be more graceful, be more patient with people, more understanding that as we fail, others are sure to fail as well. Help us to love when we don't understand. Help us not to keep score, but help us to be happy and joyful and have a forgiving heart, because you ultimately forgave us and continue to love us in spite of our shortcomings and failures. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made for our sin. And I pray that tonight, that each and every one of us would seek him wholly with our heart. I thank you for this time and this opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.